I know who you're talking about. They had a house there that was considered the doctor's house. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He lived there anyway, Clyde Thompson, and then the next one, and then there's a place going up into the garages there, alley thing.
Yeah.
And we were right across the street, right across the alley.
Oh, okay.
And then the next one was the Devereaux.
Devereaux. And then Jackson.
Yeah.
All right there together.
Mm-hmm.
You know where it is. You
yeah.
can point it out to her.
Yeah.
That was the doctor's house a long time.
Mm. That alley he's making reference to was where the you went through to go to school in those days.
Walking.
Walking.
You couldn't go
yeah.
through it in the
couldn't,
car.
Yeah.
Car walking. Goes back to the garage, right. And you walk inside the garage and get there.
Yeah.
Okay. What did it look like inside? Was it furnished fairly well, or
the house?
Uh-huh.
They kept them up fairly well. It's just a simple, common sawmill house, little fireplace, and mm-hmm. that sort of stuff, you know. But nothing fancy, bathroom. But rooms were just simple rooms,
mm-hmm.
papered. And if you got in trouble or leaked or something, the company fixed it. Somebody would come around and fix it. If it ruined the paper, they'd put in new paper.
Mm-hmm. All that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Did you didn't have to pay any rent on your office space
mm-hmm.
since that was all furnished mm-hmm. then? Okay. Do you think socialized medicine such as we had down in Dival during that time would work at all in the way things are today?
Oh, I don't know. I don't like to get off in that too much because it's changed so much. I'm glad my part of it's about over. I wouldn't want to start off in it like it is now because
mm-hmm.
it's kind of dog eat dog. It's not fair. And just as an example, if I was doing surgery like I used to do, a good deal of surgery, one or two cases a day average.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes three or four, but at average, about two a day. You know what? I'd have to pay for insurance now to do that. $16,000 a year.
Mm.
You got to make that before you can eat, before you can get a drink of water.
Mm.
That's the reason I'm not doing surgery and stuff now. I don't do any surgery by myself. I help Dr. Frank Deming 2-3 times a week on his aortas and lungs and heart operations, stuff, big stuff. But I just like to do it and able to do it and all. I'd love to help him with it. But
now that's for malpractice insurance.
Yeah.
Is that the kind
mm-hmm.
you're talking about?
I cut my insurance down to about $30,000. You could carry $1 million. But then we could carry it for $500 a year, maybe, you know. But now it's up to $15,000 and $20,000. Neurosurgeons, they have to pay about $30,000 a year for there because they're in the high brackets, you know.
Mm.
And it's just, it's uncanny. It's hard to believe.
When you very first started practicing, did you have to pay that sort of insurance?
Well, then it was about $300 a year. You see.
Oh, okay.
I've carried insurance all along, but carried $1 million up till I slowed down on the surgery, you know. And that was the reason I slowed down, not because I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still do it, but I do it on Frank's case, you know, helping him out.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Clements, are there very many claims filed? I know that normally when an award is made, it seems like an astronomical amount, but are there many claims filed?
You can go ahead and talk if you want to.
Dr. Clements, as a rule, when you were in Dyball, did most of the OB cases come here to the hospital to be delivered, or did you
No. We had little packs that I ordered from Surgical Supply House, paper stuff to put on the bed, waterproof paper sheet things, put up on them, and turn them across the bed and leave them out there in the home.
So they didn't come to the clinic either? I mean, upstairs to the doctor's office?
They come up there for prenatal, check them and all that stuff. But one thing about that that's funny, one of the patients down there, a woman, was pregnant. Her husband worked in the office, bookkeeper or something, pretty well up. And she came up to the office all the time, prenatal, and then she got a little nauseous or something. She called me down to the house all through the pregnancy, because he worked in the office over there, I was going to take good care of her. I'd go every time she'd whistle, I'd just tear out of it. So I went to the office one morning, somebody said, "Miss So-and-so is about to have her baby." I said, "Well, they didn't call me." I grabbed my bag and everything, and all my supplies, jumped in the car, the nurse tore out down to the house, pulled up there. Her mother came to the door. I said, "Where's Miss Smith? Is she doing all that?" Said, "Oh, she's gone to the hospital. Used me all the time for the free care, She got ready to deliver. She came over and got Dr. P.C. Clements to deliver. And got my $10 after all."
So how would an OB case work? Would you stay there through the whole labor, or just she would?
No, you can usually tell, usually we go back and forth and examine them and see and guess at her to tell them to holler if they picked up any. And we didn't have a big problem with that. That worked out pretty good. There was one, though, that been paying hospital fees, and he didn't like that business coming over and checking him and going back on coming back. Unfortunately, I was out of town that day or something, hospital or something, but Dr. Robert Taylor was down there filling in for me. And so he went away and said, she's just about a centimeter. It'll be a good while yet. So I'll go on back to the office. And the old man was excited. He walked over, picked up his old shotgun, and said, "No, Doc, you're not going. You're going to sit right over there." And he sat there, shotgun across his lap. Robert had to stay out there about 6 or 8 hours before she delivered. And, had a kid. But he didn't leave.
I don't think I would either. Oh, goodness. Did you have, with the home deliveries and all, did you have much infant mortality rate? Or, was it being higher in Dyball or anything like that?
No, I don't. I don't think I ever lost but one baby in a home like that. And that really surprised me. It was up around Berkeley somewhere. I've forgotten who it was, but I went up and delivered it, and everything looked just fine. Looked like it was going to be all right. And the baby was dead as a yellowhammer when it came. It looked perfect. It looked perfect and everything. But he was dead. I don't know why. Don't know it yet. Mm. But one out of all those, pretty good average.
Pretty good average. Can you describe some of the changes we've had in medicine in the last few years since you've been practicing? Some of the bigger things that stick in your mind?
Well, the hospitals have gotten a lot more strict now with your credentials and stuff, and they're putting in or had programs for the last 10, 15 years where they're supposed to go and take refresher courses, you know, certain times along. It's pretty good if they do it. Most of them don't amount to anything, or they just go down and play cards for a few hours, mess around and get their credit checked off and come on back and take it off the tack. But they're trying, at least they're trying. But I think that the government getting into medicine like it has and demanding certain things be done, you know, and then they were paying doctors to do that, you know, on Medicare and Medicaid and stuff. And now it's almost impossible to get those in the hospital. People really need to be in the hospital. They say, no, we don't pay that. You have to go as an outpatient. And just an example, when I broke my ankle Christmas Eve, I went in the hospital and they put 3 pins in it in about 3 or 4 days. A couple of pins they had on this side began to get a little infected and hurting and give me trouble. And they had to pull them out. So they pulled them out, and the night before I had hurt so badly that I'd taken Tylenol 3 at half green coating. I'd taken about twice as many as I should have taken, you know, trying to get some relief from it. Wouldn't hurt me, but I mean, I was taking too much, more than I like to. So I went back in the hospital to stay overnight that night after he pulled those out, started that and put another cast on. And next morning, almost at daylight, and the head nurse came in and said, Dr. Tim says, you're not taking anything here. Quit hurting after you got those out. And I didn't take any dope or anything through the night. Said, you're not taking any medicine here. I said, if you don't, I better give you a shot of penicillin or something. But if you don't take that, the hospital, the insurance is not going to pay your hospital bill. I said, well, bring in the penicillin. I took a shot of penicillin. I needed it anyway with my foot. But that's how close they're getting.
Oh, I see.
And it's almost impossible to get them to keep anybody in the hospital any length of time. The government got so many rules on it now that the hospitals can't keep them just like that. If I hadn't taken that shot of penicillin, they wouldn't pay my hospital bill for that night.
They're making you get stroke victims out of there in a short time, too, yeah. Aren't they? Mm-hmm.
No matter what's wrong. If you're not taking something that they can't give at home, if you're just taking medicine by mouth, you're going home with a damn heart attack. It doesn't make any difference. It's just awful. A Negro girl that used to work for us for a long time, Lena Monmouth, came in the hospital the other day, and I don't go to the emergency room anymore. And she was having a little heart failure, you know. Didn't have a heart attack, but just heart failure. So they saw her in the emergency room, and the doctor there that's in the emergency room knows he's just visits here. He doesn't belong, not one of us. Just works in the emergency room. They rotated around. There's always a new one and there's somebody else. Mm-hmm. And he charged her $45 for seeing her. I mean, that's simple black thing. $45 for seeing an emergency room. Then they sent her on up to intensive care and got one of the Indian internists. And he checked her out, you know, and everything, put her in intensive care, gave her some sort of medicine for her heart failure to get rid of fluid. She's swelling up, so get rid of fluid and stuff. And then he called in another Indian, I don't know what he's done, another specialist of some kind. And they don't look at you for less than $200 or $300. So that'd be about $600 a day, you see. Doctor's fees, not counting the hospital. And just overnight up there, she had 3 doctor bills. Poor old nigger woman didn't have a damn thing, retired. And they'll milk the government for all they can get out of it, and then probably get after her. And they've gotten to where now that to make money, make ends meet, everybody that comes in, they'll take you up there and surgery, you know, and run that thing down as far as they can see in your stomach, you know, looking around like that, looking. They'll do that for about 20 minutes. $300, stick that thing down and pull it out. And then the next day they'll bring them in and turn them over, stick it up the other way as far as they can see. Another $300, $600 just to look. No x-rays, no nothing. They just, that's something to do that they can charge for.
You know, I,
and they don't find one thing in 50 cases that they do that way.
Have they got committees that, that decide whether a person can stay in the hospital over a certain period of time? Or is it just each individual?
We used to. When I was helping run it, we did that, you know. We wouldn't let them abuse the hospital. But if anybody needs to stay in, we let them stay in. But now the government's gotten into it, and they won't listen to our committees. If they're staying in there 24 hours and don't take something that you can't give them at home.
You go home, huh?
No, they just don't pay the
income. No, won't pay the bill. Well, if you don't bill Medicare, if you've got the money and you offer to pay yourself, will they leave you there?
Perhaps. I don't know. But that would bring up a lot of argument and stuff. So
be quite unusual, huh?
Yeah.
What about the new hospitals that are run for profit as opposed to these older institutes?
A very sorry thing. They're doing good, making a lot of money on it, but it's bad for the patient. They just, the prices are outrageous, and there's just nothing you can do about it.
Questions?
Do hospitals have a problem in collecting from individuals other than Medicare? I mean, are their collections in bad shape?
Yeah, they allow for it. They charge enough. It's just like the old county hospital used to be, you know, with charity pay, go in there, charity or pay. You didn't know the difference. I didn't know the difference looking at them. But if they had money, they wanted to, they'd pay it and pay the hospital. But if somebody came in and didn't have anything, they left there, we'd treat them just like the others. But they didn't have to pay them, so they had to make it up on the ones that
didn't. You think the markups make up the difference, then?
Mm-hmm.
Are many hospitals really losing money, or is it a bookkeeping problem?
Yeah, a lot of them are having to close. A lot of the smaller hospitals.
They are actually losing and going broke.
Closing up. A lot of them are closing up.
Lufkin seems to be well off as far as their facilities here in East Texas. How do they compare?
We're ahead of any other small place this size that I know of. And in fact, they've got too much, like that scan thing they put in out at Woodland Heights. We didn't need that here. They've got one over at the other hospital, and that's all they really need. If they would use it, scan when they need to scan rather than just routinely.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's so bad about it with the insurance coverage and stuff, if I go out to the hospital to the emergency room and see somebody, well, I don't think you're very sick, you look pretty good to me, got a little cold or something, give him a shot of penicillin or something, let him go home. If he dies at night or comes back the next day and he's jaundiced and goes on to die 2 or 3 days later, that's me. They pour it on me, you see. And the doctors who do that sort of stuff and the hospitals, they do 10 times as much stuff in the emergency room out there as they ought to do. You can go out there now and tell them you have a little pain right here.
Mm-hmm.
May not be anything. Might be in your breast or anything. But they'll get an electrocardiogram, they'll get complete blood work, and SMA-12, x-rays, and scans. And they'll spend, the scan costs $500, incidentally.
A scan costs $500?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And laboratory work has gotten so high that cut this off.
Okay. It's hard.
Well, on the temple, Mr. Tom Temple, as I said, came to Dieball two or three times while I was there. He just come down and visit and all. And come down with Arthur's daddy and stuff sometime. And I had a great time visiting with him. And then when I went to Dieball, Mr. O'Hara and
Strauss.
And Strauss were co-managers. And I think they were just kind of getting it together after Mr. Walker had died. He died before I went down there. And I think they were getting it together for that. And then Mr. Henry Temple came down, and he was there about 3 years of the time that I was there. And he took their place, and I don't know what happened to them. They were around somewhere. Maybe they died about that. I'm not sure about that. But at any rate, he took over the office, and he had a bunch of pictures up there, you know, like lined up on the wall. And when I went to war and came back, he told me a story about an old country boy that lived out east of Dieball, a mile or two. He came in, saw my picture up there, my little mustache and stuff, you know, during the war. Said, "Well, you doing old Hitler's picture up there?" He thought I was Hitler. And Mr. Henry laughed about that for a long time. His old stomach was just shaking. You know. But he was one of the greatest men. He was a good Joe.
What sort of social life did y'all have at that time?
When he left, of course, Arthur came down and took it over. Mm-hmm. It began to boom then. Arthur's daddy came down from Texarkana. I don't suppose it's any big secret. Came down from Texarkana, all I was near then. There was an old farmer over behind the Negro quarters that had loaned the company some money, you know, $40,000 or $50,000, and said, "Don't get that man to renew this note," said, "I don't know what we're going to do. We're just in awful shape." That is right at the bottom, you know, the depression. You know. And so he went over there, and the old man said, "Oh, yeah, Mr. Temple, glad to do it. So go on, renew it." And he came back the happiest I think I ever saw him. That was Arthur's daddy, and then shortly after that, he died, and then Arthur took it over.
Mm-hmm. What was that man's name? Was it that had loaned him the money?
I don't know. He was an old man over behind the, over that way behind the mill.
And about, he had a grocery store, didn't he?
Oliver.
Oliver?
Wasn't it?
I believe that's right. I
think it was Oliver.
No, he was an old man, apparently retired, and had some money. He saved up some money, and he loaned it to the company.
Well, now, this Oliver ran a grocery store and a meat market over there in the Negro town, the other side
clear
of it.
Clear over the back of it.
Yeah.
It was his house.
Yeah.
Right on the edge of Negro town. Yeah. That's it.
Oliver. I had his girl in school. Mm-hmm. That's how come me to remember that part.
But I never saw Mr. Temple any more pleased than he was when he came in. There was a man
here in Lufkin that, according to the story, that loaned him some money back in those days too. Sam Hyman.
An old Jew.
Yeah. Yeah.
He sat down in the Angelina Hotel all the time. Yeah. He loaned money to everybody.
He sold paint and things like that, but he had all kinds of money.
He got wealth.
Sam Hyman.
And loaned it to nearly everybody in town.
Randy's own little bank right there.
Mm-hmm. What'd you ask me about?
I started to ask you, what sort of a social life did y'all have with
great.
What did y'all do?
Oh, we'd go to dances, have dance over in the high school thing over behind my house there once in a while. And we'd come up to the rendezvous, dance up there. I loved to dance, and we had plenty of it there. And Mr. Cruthers ran the meat market. He got the best steaks in the world, about 50 cents a piece. You'd pay $10 for now. But it actually was the best meat I've ever seen.
He was a good butcher, wasn't he? Got kept good meats.
He was great. Way before his time.
Did y'all have visit back and forth with neighbors much,
mm-hmm.
and play cards or that sort of thing?
Not much. We didn't play cards much then. We'd get together and go out and stuff, you know, pretty close around the hunting season. We'd always go out and play cards out there at Pine Island, Boggy Slough. Mm-hmm. Going out to Pine Island next Friday, in fact. The Denman party they've been having there for 30, 40 years. The telephone company's taking it over now, and they invited me.
Oh, I know. Were you part of the skeet shooting club that was there for a while?
Mm-hmm. I shot a little. I didn't have much time, really, but I was a member, and we had one out south of town here a little later. We shot a whole lot. But I was mixed up in nearly all of it, hunting. Raising the kids,